Hey guys, just want to let you know the Patreon is up. Check it out, patreon.com/Beer City Media Podcast for all your extra Beer City Media needs. Now on with the show.
It was a terrifying situation for thousands of people. Gunmen in the neighborhood killing individuals in a methodical way. When the news got on the radio and the television, people were too frightened to go outside. It happened again and again and again. This is what it's been like in Montgomery County, Maryland, which is basically part of Washington. ABC's Barry Serafin is our reporter there tonight. Barry?
Well, Peter, virtually every law enforcement agency in this area, including local police, the FBI, U.S. Marshals, and Secret Service, is looking for whoever is responsible for the worst murder spree that has ever happened here, including a murder today at the service station behind me. The shooting started yesterday at 5:20 p.m. A bullet went through a window of this store, narrowly missing a clerk inside. It was the only miss. At 6:04 p.m., a middle-aged white man was killed outside of the supermarket. This morning, the murders resumed. At 7:41 a.m., another white man mowing his lawn. At 8:12 a.m., an Indian man gassing up his cab. Minutes later, at 8:37, an Hispanic woman sitting reading a book on a bench outside of a restaurant.
The young lady that I just seen about 5 minutes or 10 minutes ago off the bus was laying right there, and it was just terrible.
Just over an hour later, at 9:58 a.m., another single bullet, another victim, a woman cleaning her car at a gas station. Altogether, six shots, five apparently random victims, within 16 hours. Police are stunned.
Nothing like this has ever happened in Montgomery County. This is a very safe community. Our homicide rate just increased by 25% in one day.
Law enforcement sources say the weapon was a high-power rifle, fired in some cases at least from a distance.
We feel like we probably have a skilled shooter, and that does heighten our concern.
Police have had little to go on, only one witness's description of two people in a white truck speeding away from one murder scene. Police are stopping white trucks and vans, but have not found any suspects. That has made the community nervous. 140,000 schoolchildren in Montgomery County were kept indoors through the day, and police were on hand when schools let out. The massive manhunt continues, but Peter, police admit they don't know who or what they're dealing with, or what their motive might be.
Welcome to the Conspiracy Therapy Podcast with Ryan, Larry, Springhill, Josh, and Lumamami herself, Miss April. And on today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the Beltway Sniper attacks.
If we ever decided to record these with a camera, everyone would be really impressed to see that pretty much every episode starts with a weird air guitar
banger. It's an air bass, an air guitar, yep. And then air keyboard.
Yep.
Oh, I was doing air guitar there.
Thanks for ruining the premise of that.
Yes. No, that was a lot of fun. We like Van Halen. We
rest
miss
in peace,
you,
Eddie.
Mm-hmm. Eddie, man, thanks for.
I almost
ripping.
Lost it when I saw the picture of him with his palm. Oh, mm-hmm. I was like, "That's me and Chewy."
And you're like a keyboard version of Eddie Van Halen in a way.
Mm-hmm. Well, he played keyboards.
He did. amazingly.
Yeah, I wish I could play that good.
All right.
Already ground the show to a halt with depression. You're welcome.
Let me just go kill myself.
Well, I mean, it's
no, you're
kind of a big one.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge one.
That's the biggest one for me, probably in the last. And this is up against Robin Williams, David Bowie. This is the biggest one for me since Carrie Fisher, and I would say even bigger than Carrie Fisher.
Wow, I mean,
it's just crazy.
I get that
all that talent just evaporates. It's
mm-hmm. yep. It's really scary to me because he invented like three or four different, at least. If we're going to be honest, he invented like three or four different things when it comes to guitar, like harmonics and like pitch harmonics mm-hmm. that
the way he did
grindcore bands mm-hmm. and deathcore bands will use that as like an influx, like an exciting moment, but he did it effortlessly.
Well,
I'm sorry. This is a conspiracy podcast.
I don't want to say
we didn't talk about
invented, harmonics. But he popularized, especially like even tapping. Tapping had been done before.
It just never been done like that.
Exactly. And even it's the pitch some harmonics of the best. And stuff.
The way he, yeah, instead of pinching, he did, yeah, it was the way he did the pinch, you know, a pinch as opposed to tap harmonics was
mm-hmm. the tapping he did yeah. was off the charts.
Oh, anyways, yeah.
So, by the way, some people got shot in DC.
Okay, good night, folks. That was a great show.
Horrible.
Yeah. Do you guys remember this?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't.
I did not know it when Larry, this is a Larry suggestion. I did not know it when he mentioned it, but then when I started reading into it and finding all my information and finding the clips, it's like, oh yeah, that was pretty horrible. Yeah.
I was like glued to news radio. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. News radio.
Yeah. During all this, because it was such a crazy story.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, this is a Larry suggestion. He talked about it, and the three of us as the three hosts here, we've kind of drummed up some story that I think is actually probably more humbling than I would have thought. It's scarier and worse than I would have imagined.
Because like I said, I was paying attention to it at the time, but like once it was done, it's like you moved on to the next thing, and then all the information that comes out afterwards, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, the information that I found was insane. Especially, I mean, obviously I'll get to it, but like what was in the car that startled me.
Yeah, I'll be interested.
23 people were shot at. 15 died.
Wow.
And we're going to talk about why this happened, how this happened, and what their final destination was. So let's pull the Thunderbird to the side of the road a bit real quick. How scared would you be? Five people are dead because of a sniper. And you have to go out to get gas. Your car.
I wouldn't go get gas for my car. I would simply look at my wife and I would say,
you go get the gas for our car.
No, I would probably call out for
some more cheesy poofs,
especially because they don't know where it's coming from. It was a mystery. So I would not go to work, and I would tell my wife, we are closing the blinds, we are staying home, we're locking mm-hmm. the doors.
Yep.
I mean, I would be, how scared would I be? I'd be 10, but I mean, I'd still have to, you still have to live your life. I mean, you know, you have responsibilities, and mm-hmm. if, you know, I'm sure there's people who had to pick up their kids or, you know, they run a company that employs people that mm-hmm. keeps them employed. I mean, that's the frightening part.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can hold yourself up, then you've eliminated the danger, but.
Would you start wearing a bulletproof vest?
No, they don't look good on me.
Fair enough.
But you can't protect your head.
Yeah.
That's true.
Plus you're Iron Man.
He's not real.
April. Well, just shit in my Cheerios, Lawrence.
Am I the first to break that to you that Iron Man isn't real?
You know what? Iron Man is fucking real to me. And so is Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan is real.
They can shoot him.
Hulk Hogan? Thought it was, I don't know.
Rowdy Ralph. God. Yeah, I'm with Leary on this one. I feel like as I would limit the amount of time that I spent out. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I'm not just going to like bop around to restaurants and like hanging out with friends. You know, it would literally.
She's a fan of Target department store. She's wearing the shirt.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't be doing more errands than absolutely necessary, but. Yeah, you gotta keep going.
You know, if there's anything that this pandemic has shown us, that if this were to happen now, that there'd still be like, what? You take away my freedoms? I gotta go get Walmart, get my Cheetos.
Right? It would just be a lot of ship choppers.
Yep.
Poor bastards.
Yep. Right.
They would be like the sacrificial lambs shipped in Instacart Uber choppers. Drivers. Yep.
You would want the sacrifices.
Yeah.
So disgusting too.
You know.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
like the booming new job. Let's kill them all.
This show has slowly eroded my belief in people.
I know, man.
I'm sorry. People. I mean, like think people are so good and then it's like this just wears on that.
One season that, like my people suck.
I don't think I'll ever get there, but
well you're
it really exposes how I guess how people can they can just kill at a moment's no. It's really frightening. There is no code that I mean, there's a code we follow, I guess, as human beings, I guess. Right. But just some people just don't follow that code. And it's like you don't feel like you're playing with the same rules.
Yeah, they go against basic human instincts and they have no empathy. And that's scary that there are people out there even now. Your neighbor could not care about human life. And,
he doesn't.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. No, she's nice.
She's very nice.
But there are people like that. No matter what, wherever you are, even if you think you're in a safe town, guess what? There's probably someone in that town that's thought about killing someone or has killed someone and just hasn't been caught yet.
No one can just decide to pull the wheel right into yep. you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think about that.
Now that's an outline work.
Right?
That's depressing.
So anyway, when these shooters first started out, there's a bit of a story to that.
There is. I did some pretty in-depth research on their beginnings and how they grew up. It was ooh, Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
Peace.
Right? It's true. In their early lives, because I think we've talked about before many times how a lot of times their early life is very telling
of who they're gonna
of who they're going to become for sure. So I want to start with John Allen Muhammad. He was actually born John Allen Williams on December 31, 1960, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, to Ernest and Ava Williams. His mom died of breast cancer when he was 3 years old, so they packed up and moved to New Orleans. After his mom's death, his dad bolted. He was not a part of his life at all. He was mainly raised by his maternal grandfather and an aunt. Now, fast forward, this is August 1978. He enlisted in the Louisiana Army National Guard at Baton Rouge as a combat engineer. He transferred to the regular army. Is that what they call it? Regular army?
An army light.
It would basically be not the reserves. So right. it's the full
diet army.
He went from a sub to army light. Career.
Right, exactly.
With 50% less conflicts. I don't know.
Yeah, so he transferred to the army on November 6, 1985. And was trained as a mechanic, truck driver, and specialist metal worker. He qualified with the Army's standard rifle, the M16, earning the expert rifleman's badge. This is actually the highest level that you can get in marksmanship, which I think we talked about marksmanship
with your dad.
Right. And you had gotten
we both got sharpshooter medals. Yep. Expert is above that.
Yeah.
It's hard to get.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's hard to get his, I don't know, showing up on time.
Hey, he was on time today.
He was here before you, Larry.
Oh boy.
That's true. I was like 4 minutes late. Yeah.
Now in 1987, he joined the Nation of Islam. As a member of the Nation of Islam, he helped provide security for the Million Man March in 1995.
Okay.
Now,
I feel like this is when things start to sift.
Yeah. His first tour was with the 15th Engineer Battalion at Fort Lewis in 1985. In 1991, he served in the Gulf War with a company that dismantled Iraqi chemical warfare rockets.
Wow.
Service, and for doing that, he received the Southwest Asia Service Medal, the Kuwait Liberation Medal, and the Kuwait, I don't know. He earned another medal, but I wrote it wrong.
He got a medal.
He got a medal. He got a lot of medals.
I got a basket weaving badge in Boy Scouts.
Nice. Hey,
at least he didn't get a platinum.
I got a platinum in basket weaving.
Kind of did.
Yeah, I guess. In 1992, he was at Fort Ord, California with the 13th Engineers. And in 1993, was back at Fort Lewis with the 14th Engineer Battalion. Now, he was honorably discharged from the Army with the rank of Sergeant on April 24, 1994, after 17 years of service.
Oh.
Now, again, our medal guy got some more medals. He got the Army Service Medal, National Defense Service Medal, Overseas Ribbon, Non-Commissioned Officers Professional Development Ribbon, and Army Achievement Medal. Now, this is where it gets a little weird. He kidnapped his kids and took them to Antigua around 1999, engaging in credit card and immigration document fraud. And it was at this time that he became close with Lee Boyd Malvo, who we will talk about in a little bit. He changed his name to John Allen Muhammad in October of 2001, which, if you think about it, is a weird time because that would have been immediately following 9/11. Like,
oh, yeah.
Right.
He went all in.
Yeah, I guess. After his arrest in 2001, authorities also claimed that Muhammad admitted that he admired and modeled himself after Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda and approved of the September 11 attacks.
That's something you don't want to...
He also thought he was Neo.
Yeah. Now, Malvo testified that Muhammad had indoctrinated him into believing that the proceeds of an extortion attempt would be used to establish a camp in Canada where homeless children were to be chained as terrorists.
Jesus.
Can't think of anything scarier than a terrorist child. I have one.
Yeah.
Let alone an army of them. Yeah,
right? A whole army of Ashers. I would just lay down and die. Okay. So he was divorced twice. His second ex-wife named Mildred, which is a great name.
Yeah.
I wish more people were named Mildred.
I'm Mildred.
This is his focus.
Right.
Because they had three kids together.
Mm-hmm. So Mildred sought and was granted a restraining order, claiming that he was abusive, which, shocker.
Right.
He was arrested on federal charges of violating the restraining order by possessing a weapon. Under federal law, those with restraining orders are prohibited from purchasing or possessing guns, as per the Lautenberg Amendment to the Gun Control Act of 1968.
Lautenberg?
Lautenberg! So yes, that is, Muhammad. Now we're going to talk a little bit about Lee Boyd Malvo, who is the 17, I believe.
Jesus. I'm going to say this right now, and I don't care that it happens early. I think he was pressured by an adult, and I'm kind of upset that he's in jail.
Yeah.
Like, I think he could have faced some sort of like readjusting,
mm-hmm.
or somebody just to tell him that the world isn't a vampire,
right.
And just like enjoy the fact that he is a young dude and he could be right in the head if mm-hmm. you didn't have to deal with this Muhammad guy.
Right.
just saying, I feel bad for this.
Yeah.
Now, all right, thank you. We'll see you guys next week.
They're like, one star. Shut the fuck up. Listen to our show. We actually do research. Fuck you.
It's true.
Yes, Ryan, tell the people to listen to the show. We're listening to the show. It's because I'm doing sound effects. You're not hearing it. Everyone that's making Josh and I laugh.
No, I just get mad. I'm sorry.
It's okay. All right. Now, Lee Boyd Malvo was born on September.
Ah, September.
Do you remember the 25th night of September?
Yes.
I got a hump on my dick.
That joke will make sense. In 2 weeks when another show comes out.
Yes, exactly. Listen for that. But lock that away in your things to remember. No, he was born on February 18, 1985 to Leslie Malvo, a Mason, and Una James, who was a seamstress.
Yeah.
His parents were never married. They lived in Kingston, Jamaica.
Which, oh, right near the beach.
Yeah. His mother left his father in 19.
Come to shop at Charlie Marley's.
Oh God, let's not. Let's
not.
His mom left his dad in 1990 when he was just 5 years old. Now he and his mom moved to the hill town of Endeavor, Jamaica, to be with her sister Marie Lawrence. Marie Lawrence for almost a year. Now, they ended up moving back to Kingston and later to St. Martin when he was 9 years old. He was sent to live with his Aunt Marie, where he stayed for almost a year.
Aww.
See that trigger finger? And in sixth grade, he did so well on an entrance exam that he was sent to York Castle High School. That was in sixth grade, so he essentially skipped
Doogie
Howser. Seventh, eighth. Yeah. So, Jamaican pastor. I was waiting for the. Jamaican pastor Lorenzo King baptized Malvo into the Seventh-day Adventist Church at 14 years old in 1999. Oh. After that, he moved to Antigua to be with his mother. He registered at Antigua and Barbuda Seventh-day Adventist School, where he got good grades and also won a school award in the 100-meter run. So he was a good kid. Like, that's what kills me about this. He was really successful.
In the same way.
Yeah.
This bothers me so much because even on both sides, I would have said they're really good dudes.
Mm-hmm. Now, Malvo and his mother first met John Allen Muhammad in Antigua and Barbuda around 1999. His mom and Muhammad were really good friends. James or his mother, Una James, left Antigua for Fort Myers, Florida, using false documents. So when she did that, she left Malvo with Muhammad she's like, you can take care of my kid, right? That good. Turned out to be a terrible idea.
15 people dead.
Now she was planning on having him follow her later. Spoiler alert. Yeah, right. Malvo was converted to Islam by Muhammad in March of 2001.
Yeah.
So, and this is when Muhammad actually started to begin isolating Malvo from his mother. He would, he was in less and less contact with her the longer he was with Muhammad.
Oh, geez.
Now, Malvo arrived illegally in Miami in 2001. And in December of that year, he and his mother were apprehended by the Border Patrol in Bellingham, Washington. In January of 2002, Malvo was released on a $1,500 bond. Now, at this time, Malvo lived in a homeless shelter with Muhammad. He was enrolled in Bellingham High School with Muhammad falsely listed as his father. There's a lot of this is like falsified documents.
Okay.
The more I went through this, I'm like, yeah, it's all just bullshitted documents.
Which is crazy, which means they could have been caught at any point.
Right.
And
exactly. He didn't make any friends. His classmates went on record saying, like, yeah, he was a weird kid. He didn't make friends. He wasn't there to make friends. He went and left, and that was it. Noel in Tacoma, Washington, Malvo shoplifted a Bushmaster XM15 from Bullseye Shooter Supply and practiced. That just sounds like a fun store.
Bullseye Shooters.
I feel like there's probably one of those like really crappy like public access commercials for like Bullseye Shooter Supply, and it's some guy with a cowboy hat.
The Bullseye Shooter Supply. We got guns, we got ammo, we got bulletproof vests, we got 9mm, we got Glocks, we got 22s, we got shotguns. We got violence.
Hey, y'all sell cigarettes?
Violins are turning into guns.
Hey, I'm looking for a natural ice. You sell a
tall boy? You go next door to the convenience store and get your natty ice there.
Well, what's interesting, do you have the record of that store?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so interesting factoid about that store. After the shootings had happened, they did an investigation on the store. And this place has got an extremely shady history with weapons constantly being stolen, and the owners just didn't care.
Well, we sold the guns at the DC Sniper use. You can see how well they work. They kill people. Bullseye Shooter Supply.
It was quite fascinating.
My bad, Jeff. I'm missing some guns. Is that okay?
We don't keep track of our stock.
Hey, wait a minute. This 12 gauge don't work funny. I just want to know, is it okay if 12 of them go missing?
12 gauges is like 24 1 gauges. I don't know.
Good to know.
Math is hard.
My stepsister got caught in the dryer.
Now, well, okay, so what's interesting, Josh had mentioned that they were like, meh, right? When guns got stolen, they were literally so meh about it that he took the gun that he stole and went next door to the Bullseye Shooter Supply shooting range.
We got a shooting range! Bullseye Shooter Supply, corner of 5th and Walnut.
Yeah, he took the gun that he stole and shot it in their firing range.
They're like, that's a nice gun. Where'd you get it?
Okay. Now, under federal laws, neither Mahaba nor Malvo were legally allowed to purchase or possess guns, both classified as prohibited persons under the Gun Control Act of 1968.
We're Bullseye Shooter Supply. Kill the man. We don't care. We'll sell you a gun.
You need to be dead. Are you dead? You better be dead. Dead.
No background checks.
Don't get alive.
You're the Shooter Supply.
Oh my God. Oh, now it was at this time that they started committing some crimes. And I am going to talk a little bit about.
I'm shocked.
You're right.
Yeah, I thought you said shocked, like those 15 people.
Yikes.
Spoiler alert. Yeah,
right. Okay. So, hey, speaking of those 15 people that got shot, these were some of
shot
their.
And died. Yes. 23 people got shot at.
These
15 died.
I have some of the preliminary shootings before their sniping spree. Now, in February 16, 2002, a 21-year-old cashier named Kenya Nicole Cook was shot and killed by Lee Malvo at the front door of her aunt's home in Tacoma, Washington. Her aunt, Issa Nichols, was actually good friends with John Allen Muhammad's ex-wife, Mildred, and was the one that had encouraged her to seek a divorce from Muhammad.
Mm. Oh.
So there was some bad blood there. I'm not shocked that that was their first target.
Like foreshadowing.
Right. Now, on March 19, 2002, Jerry Taylor, who was 60 years old, was killed by a single shot to the chest fired from long range as he practiced chip shots at a Tucson, Arizona golf course. Tucson. Yep. Tucson, as others.
Yeah, Tucson is some
Tucson
of people
as some
here.
Refer to it. Muhammad's sister lived near the golf course, and he was visiting her at the time of the shooting.
Oops, fell in the water trap. Yes, I'm not playing. Yes, I'm not playing the rifle sounds because this is
right.
Mean.
Now, two deaths and four injuries followed in other states from March through July 2002. August 1, 2002, John Gaeta, who was 51, was changing a tire at a parking lot in Hammond, Louisiana, and was shot in the neck by Malvo. The bullet exited through Gaeta's back and pretended to be dead while Malvo stole his wallet. Gaeta ran to a service station after the shooter left and discovered that he was bleeding.
Oh.
he went to a hospital and was released within an hour. Which, like, okay, if you got shot in the neck,
it sounds like a graze.
Yeah, that's kind of, well, because even when I was,
but it went through his back.
That's what I was thinking. Like, how was he like leaning down that it like hit here and just like ran it, down his back?
Yeah, it must have been one of those weird angles.
Yeah, because that was I had to think about that for a minute too. Now, actually, on March 1st of 2010, he received a letter of apology from Malvo.
Sorry. Sorry, I shot you in the neck.
Sorry.
My bad. My bad, guys.
Done fucked up.
Yep. So,
dearest sir, I formally apologize for shooting you through the neck and back.
I haveth partaken in several acts of fuckery, which may or may not have left you with some entrance and exit wounds on your neck and lower back.
Here's a $15 card to Subway. Make up for your inconvenience.
Damn, that's like three meatball six-inchers.
Right.
We're Bullseye Shooter Supply and Sub Shop. We've expanded.
Hey, y'all. You want to come down here? Give us your 17th can. I'll tell you what. You'll get your sweet ride on this nice old snowmobile. Don't hit a tree.
Good advice.
It is.
I mean, it's solid advice.
Sure.
Solid as a tree. Yeah.
Yes.
I hit a truck once while snowmobiling.
You've snowmobiled?
Yeah.
Is that fun or what?
I've never done it. Amazing. It's so much fun.
It was a brand new truck like they bought it that
isn't
day.
It just, isn't it just snow jet
not
ski?
Not even surprised.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I've never jet ski either, so I don't know why I came up with that comparison, but
it's fine.
I've ATV'd.
It's like jet skiing. What's jet skiing like?
Jet skiing's like ATVing on dry land.
Yes. Sure.
Actually, when we were ATVing, I hit a tree.
Sorry.
And my head hit the tree so hard it cracked the helmet I was wearing.
Jeez.
I hit a tree so hard on a snowmobile, I lost. Okay.
The ability to pronounce simple words.
Yeah. I lost that. Explains but everything. Also, my knee hurts all the time.
Ooh.
I got launched off the snowmobile. Mm. The one kid that was behind me kept going, also got his knee racked. My dad ran out crying.
Oh my God.
I probably thought you died.
No kidding.
But he saw me in the snow and I'm like, ow.
My knee.
Brian, say something. It's easy, baby.
He picked me up.
What happened to my son? Oh.
I was just like,
son, say paralysis.
Paralysis.
Oh no! Why, God, why?
Piece of shit. Oh, but anyway, that's what happened.
Boy, you went from 0 to 60 real quick.
I think.
I like that snowmobile.
Yeah, right?
Except it went 60 to 0.
And just like that.
It was one tree and there was nothing else.
I know. That's what I do with the ATV. I'm like, there's a tree. I'm going, oh.
Please tell me that wasn't like a lone tree in a field, though.
Yeah, dude, that's how it works. There's a phenomenon.
Literally, the one thing that could have fucked up my snowmobile trip, and I went, yay! And then I gunned it for that.
Oh my God!
I hit it so hard, I launched myself off. That's how hard I hit my knee on that. I'm just saying.
I know, but if you put those on, you'll hear when you're not on mic.
Sorry.
That's cool.
But I literally hit it so hard that
there's a phenomenon. I can't remember what it's called. It's like something fixation.
Mm-hmm.
Like motorcycle drivers they'll see like a pothole and like.
Yeah.
If they're so fixated on the pothole, they actually aim for it. Not
it's like night. It's like bugs flying into a zapper.
Right?
Yeah.
God. I think the worst I ever had it was I was getting pulled behind. Was it a snowmobile or a four wheeler?
We country folks.
Yeah, this is some real redneckery right here. Someone tied a rope and a sled to the back of an ATV and just fucking floored it. We had to have been going
10 miles an hour.
Fast. It was too fast. And I'm like gripping on for dear life on the snowmobile and on the sled. And he took a hard left and the sled just like ramped up a hill. And I was easily 10 feet in the air.
Oh, shit.
It was like I went flying. It was, and you know, when you're up in the air that high and you know you're falling and you do that, like, that, like, I'm trying to run. I'm trying to be somewhere that's not in the air. Yeah, it was really bad.
I would love it.
Oh, yeah, for sure he would. That was the last time I did anything, like, relatively thrilling because I just value my life too much. No.
I'm still going.
No, the last time I did something that thrilling was because Josh tricked me into it. When we went to Great Wolf Lodge and he was trying to get me to go down a water slide. Oh, and I didn't want to go. I was like, no, it scares me. It scares me. I'm terrified because, like, the open ones, I'm scared that my ass is going to, like, go up and over and I'm going to fall 3 stories to the ground. So he was like, well, go on this one. This one's closed in. It's not scary. It's super. And Garrett's like, oh, yeah, it's not bad at all. It's not bad at all. So I'm like, oh, fuck, fine. So we're at the top and I grab onto the thing and the girl's, like, holding the tube with her foot. And I look at her and I'm like, Am I gonna make it? Is this gonna be? She's like, it's fine. She moved her foot and, like, off we went. I get to the bottom, smack my face in the water. My glasses go flying and Josh is standing there laughing his ass off because they tricked me to going on the scariest one.
That's awful.
Yep.
You're dead. Yep. I saw, to me, this is one of the most.
I love you.
Video, this video collection, the compilation video that gave me horrible anxiety.
Oh, no.
Was people in getting stuck in those water tubes?
Yes.
Oh,
like, how the fuck do you get out?
Oh, my God.
Oh, it gives me such a horrible, like, you know, anxiety.
What, you know, it'd be a fun future episode is the Action Park.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard so many stories about it. It's the documentary, but I've heard, before this documentary came out, I've heard about this park.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it's jeez. Scary shit. Yeah, to go to Action Park, you're a jackass.
I don't know. Nothing could be worse than the community slip and slide that we went to.
Were you showing your boobs to everyone?
Yeah, where I was at the top, and we were like, let's go on the slip and slide. And Garrett was like, let's go together. I was like, yeah, let's do it. And we slid down, and I stood up at the bottom, and the lady working the bottom was like, honey, you might want to pull your shirt down. And I just tits everywhere in front of, like,
Jitties.
The entire population of our city.
Jitties. Jitties.
I would love
Jitties.
It happened. Right. Everyone saw it. Yeah. Anyway, September 5, 2002, at 10:30 p.m., Paul LaRuffa, a 55-year-old pizzeria owner, was shot 6 times at close range while locking up his Italian restaurant in Clinton, Maryland. LaRuffa survived the shooting, and his laptop computer was found in John Allen Muhammad's car when he and Malvo were arrested. My spaghetti!
Who shot my brother? Who shot my brother?
He wasn't shot. They just, like, shot pepperonis with extra marinara.
Why are you shooting all of my marinara? It's all over
through the heart, and who's to blame? A mozzarella sticks!
My bad, the brother!
You gave Italians a bad name!
Oh, my God. Oh, on September 20th...
Rest in peace.
He didn't die.
Okay.
Yes.
Yet, he might have now. He was 55 in 2002.
Yes. He could still be alive.
He's probably still alive.
Okay. Get morbid.
Yes. On September 21, September 21, 2002, at 12:15 a.m., 41-year-old Million A. Waldemariam, which might be my favorite name of all time.
Yes, I am the Fortune 500 owner of Million Metal. I own Target Practice. Whatever the gun club is on.
Bullseye.
Barricade or whatever. I forgot already.
Okay, so Million A. Waldemariam was fatally shot in the head.
Oh, come on, Larry.
Sorry. And Ben back with a .22 caliber pistol in Atlanta, Georgia.
Ooh.
Waldemariam was helping the owner of Sammy's package store close up for the night when the shooting occurred.
Mm.
19 hours later on the same day, Claudine Parker, a 52-year-old liquor store clerk in Montgomery, Alabama, was shot in the chest and killed during a robbery.
Mm.
Her co-worker, 24-year-old Kelly Adams, was critically wounded with a shot through the neck, but survived.
Ugh.
Evidence found at the crime scene eventually tied this killing to the Beltway sniper attacks and allowed authorities to identify Muhammad and Malvo as suspects, although this connection was not made until October 17. The last one, on September 23, 2002, at 6:30 p.m., 45-year-old Hong Im Ballinger was shot in the head and killed with a Bushmaster rifle in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Muhammad and Malvo were later linked to the killing. So they went on quite a spree.
Yeah, I didn't realize that it wasn't just D.C. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That it involved all these other...
Oh, yeah. They.
I mean, they went from the fucking West Coast all the way to the East Coast. Yeah,
they had a track record. They were going all over the place.
Damn.
Yeah.
Makes it worse.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Like the circus. They never know when they're going to roll into your town.
You're right. Jesus.
All right, well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, all the segments. Segments?
Segments.
I love a good segment.
You know and love.
In marinara.
We'll be right back.
October 3rd, 2002. Suburban Washington exploded.
A man has been killed in front of me.
A man just fell in the parking lot.
There's a lady. She's not moving.
Four people shot execution style in broad daylight. Each killed by a single sniper round.
We weren't sure if it was a terrorist style attack. We weren't sure how many shooters we had out there.
Assistant Chief Drew Tracy led the SWAT team response.
People were terrified. People were ducking behind cars and people not going to work and some children not going to schools.
Over the next 3 weeks, six more people were gunned down and two others, including a middle school student, were wounded before police finally identified the snipers and cornered them at a Maryland rest stop. Chief Tracy vividly recalls the takedown of John Allen Muhammad and his teenage partner, Lee Boyd Malvo.
I walked over towards Muhammad, and when I looked at him, he had a look about him that was just pure evil.
Segment time.
Whoa!
Fucking love David Lee Roth.
Oh,
rest in peace, Eddie.
Song. Yeah.
You'll be missed.
For sure.
Hey, I mean.
At 5:20 p.m. on Wednesday, October 2nd, 2002, a shot was fired through a window at a Michael's craft store in Aspen Hill. Stone Cold narrowly missed Ann Chapman, a cashier at the store.
Oof.
Since no one was injured, the shot was assumed to be random and no serious alarms were raised. However, approximately 1 hour later at 6:30 p.m., James Martin, a 55-year-old program analyst at NOAA, was shot and killed at 2201 Randolph Road in the parking lot of a Shoppers Food Warehouse grocery store. Not cool, dude. Why you gotta shoot that guy?
I know.
Just wanted to get a hoagie. Mm. On the morning of October 3rd, four people were shot dead within a span of approximately 2 hours.
Wow.
In Aspen Hill and other nearby areas in Montgomery County. Another was killed that evening in the Tacoma neighborhood of the District of Columbia. So these are all predominantly D.C. area.
Mm-hmm.
At 7:41 a.m., James L. Buchanan, a 39-year-old landscaper known as Sonny, was shot dead at 11411 Rockville Pike near Rockville, Maryland. Buchanan. He was shot while mowing the grass at the Fitzgerald.
That's the worst. He's not even doing something he loved, unless he loved mowing the lawn.
I like mowing
the lawn. He was a landscaper, wasn't he?
I mean, the smell of fresh cut grass is nice.
True.
At 8:12 a.m.
sawdust.
Yes. Oh, that is a good smell.
What those as candles?
Mm-hmm.
Especially like oak.
Yeah.
And smells.
At 8:12 a.m., 50-year-old part-time cab driver Prem Kumar Walakar was killed in Aspen Hill in Montgomery County while pumping gasoline into his taxi at a mobile station. Which sucks. Putting gas in your car. You want to go. But somebody says, no, you're done.
Maybe he wanted to go inside and buy a gas station hoagie.
Yeah. Slim Jims and a Red Bull.
Some Tornadoes.
What's your perfect gas station quick fix?
A Slim Jim, a Red Bull, and a bag of those Double Crunch Hot Wing Ruffles.
Ooh.
I'm going to go with a Red Bull and Pepper Jack Cheese Tornado. I'm going to eat something unhealthy. It's going to be good.
Oh, I would have to go with the Starbucks Double Shot Energy Drinks. And probably some kind of candy. Like I would probably like a Butterfinger. That's my go-to.
You know what sounds good? It's been sounding really good to me for like the past like 4 days.
Hmm.
And this is going to sound stupid because I'm an adult and I have money. A Snickers.
Like, they satisfy.
That they do.
I mean, just something about a, you know, they're
unlike nice. Me, they satisfy.
Oh. It's okay. What about you, Ryan? I don't think they sell pepperonis. Reese's
peanut butter cups.
Oh, yeah.
It's just peanut butter and chocolate.
I know.
Delicious.
So good.
Sends me down the happy trail.
Happy trail to you.
All right, should I continue?
Yes. We want to end eventually, yeah.
At 8:37 a.m., Sarah Ramos, a 34-year-old babysitter and housekeeper, was killed at 3701 Rossmore Boulevard at the Leisure World Shopping Center in Norbeck. She had gotten off a bus and was seated on a bench reading a book.
And then jeez. Forrest Gump sat next to her.
At 9:58 a.m., in what was to be the last killing of the morning, 25-year-old Lori Ann Lewis Rivera was killed while vacuuming her Dodge Caravan at a Shell station.
That sucks.
Not doing something she loved.
The snipers then waited until 9:20 p.m. before shooting Charlotte, a 72-year-old retired carpenter.
Dang.
While
swinging a hammer.
Charlotte, by the way. It was a he.
Oh.
While he was walking on Georgia Avenue at Kamala Road in Washington, D.C., Charlotte died less than an hour later.
Mm.
Oh.
In each shooting, the victims were killed by a single bullet fired from a distance in each case. The killers struck and then vanished. This pattern was not detected until the shootings occurred on October 3rd, one day early to my brother's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Oh, birthday, you say?
I do.
My brother.
If everything was in order here, I could hit the song, but.
Yeah, we like the birthday.
It's a birthday.
My brother is awesome. I love my brother. Now, fear quickly spread throughout the region as news of the shooting spread. At a press conference meeting, Chief of Police of Montgomery
Wards.
County, MD, Charles Moose, informed
Moose.
He informed Moose. Parents.
Sorry, too many baseball games.
Damn.
He informed parents that schools were on a code blue alert, keeping children indoors, and that for the time being, the schools were safe. Many parents went to pick up their children at school early, not allowing them to take a school bus or walk home. Montgomery County Public Schools, District of Columbia Public Schools, and private schools went into a lockdown.
Jeez.
This is very similar to what we deal with now.
Right.
Police had only a few pieces of evidence to work with, including one initial report that during the Silver Spring attack, someone had reportedly seen a white box truck. Sorry. And after the murder in Washington, D.C., witnesses then began telling police that they had seen a blue Chevrolet Caprice.
The old cop cars.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some suspicions on the cops at the time.
Okay. Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I hate when one of those cars are behind me. Even though they don't even use them anymore.
Doesn't matter.
Use SUVs now around here.
Anytime I see a white SUV coming towards me, instantly drop at least 10 miles an hour.
Yeah. Even though now you're doing 5.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, it's just a Suburban.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
The soccer mom with her kids.
Yep.
So I'm sure you guys would like to know, how were these guys caught, right? Yes. Larry, you want to know.
I'm very interested.
I am too.
Because I don't remember.
I'm interested in seeing how interested you were, and I had that information for you.
But also, it's your job.
Well, I don't get paid. It's not really a job. It's more like community service.
I know. I feel your pain.
Secretly, we've all been that we're paying our community service hours for being
horrible human beings.
If you were arrested for something, what would you be arrested for?
God, that's a good question. I'd be arrested for anything. I guess it would probably be. Got me on this. I don't know. I don't do much wrong.
I don't drink and drive.
Right.
You would be arrested for
a cop thinking I'm smoking a bowl and it's actually me playing my kazoo in the car.
Yeah, exactly.
Kazoo solo.
It's almost happened.
I would be drunk and disorderly. That's what I would be.
Well, you've done it before.
Exactly.
I would say I would be arrested for inappropriate humor.
Yeah. Yep. Next time we're all out together at a place, that's when it will happen.
Mm-hmm. Ryan?
If I was arrested for anything, it would probably be, why are you sleeping in your car off 131?
That's also the title of his book.
Yes. Ryan would be arrested for just being too damn handsome.
Yeah.
He's just too good looking and the police can't handle it.
They'd arrest him for stockpiling too much pussy.
I rough his wrist.
Which would mean something to the listeners if they could see that.
Eventually, you could see Lando dancing at the table, but we want to know how
sweet he is. We want to know.
I like to lick my balls. Well,
true story, he was on the floor today and I was like, what are you doing? And I looked down and he had a full scale red rocket and he was licking it and humping into his own mouth.
I am jealous.
Yeah.
Fucking jealous of that.
That's okay.
It's all right. But
it's
funny,
when he attacks me, it's so cute because he's like, and then he's like, I love you.
That's, yeah, that's
in the middle of like biting me, he's like,
Anyways, I have a whole lot of information here, and we want to know how these guys were arrested. Yes. So the police were actually tipped off by Whitney Donahue, who noticed who noticed their parked car at a rest stop off Interstate 70 near Myersville, Maryland. Trooper First Class D. Wayne Smith of the Maryland State Police was the first to arrive at the scene and immediately used his light blue unmarked police vehicle to block off the exit by positioning the car sideways between two parked tractor trailers. Now, as more troopers arrived, they also sealed off the rest of the area at both entrance and exit ramps because they were sleeping. They had no idea what was going on.
Oh, my God.
Later, a truck driver named Ron Lance was attempting to exit the rest area. His tractor trailer was commandeered by the police, who used the truck in one place of the police car to complete the roadblock at the exit.
Oh, shit.
So they have no way of getting out.
Right.
And so the SWAT team moved in.
Jeez.
The crime spree came to a close officially at 3:15 a.m. on October 21st, 2002, when Muhammad and Malvo were found sleeping in their car, of course, and they were arrested on federal weapons charges. Jeez. Now, what evidence experts from the FBI and other police forces found there was both revealing and shocking. The car had a hole. This is how they did the shootings, mind you. The car had a hole cut in the trunk near the license plate so that the shots could be fired from within the vehicle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Yeah, it created a... They had a sniper's nest. Mm-hmm. A moving sniper's nest.
That's nuts.
Shot when you look and...
Driving away.
See a person.
It was a big deal.
Yeah, they had like a Metal Gear, basically. Now, this is what really threw me. What was in the car?
Yeah. I want to know.
What police found in the car?
What would they find in your car?
Probably, in my car? Doritos. Considering I'm driving her car, it's probably some Starbucks cups and...
Yeah, if it's my car...
Wrappers from the kids.
If it's my car, it's like 14 empty Starbucks cups and like some crinkled up receipts and a lot of Cheerios and Goldfish.
If it's my car, basically I keep like my work boots and stuff in there. My car's boring.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, my car, it would be empty Red Bulls for sure.
You know, for as clean as I like to keep my house, my car is completely the opposite.
Aaron, I love my wife. She is not very clean with the car.
Yeah. And I don't know what that is.
I tell her, look, our garbage can is on wheels. Just wheel it. Like, you literally pass the garbage can on the way into the house. Yeah,
I know. I don't know what it is. It just happens.
I always tell her, like, just keep some bags in your car, like some grocery bags, and then, like, throw garbage in there. So when it's full, you can just throw it in the dumpster.
I know. It doesn't make sense.
It's something in my DNA. It's female DNA. I can't keep a car clean to save my life. Since my first car, they just get trashed.
Like,
sorry, if you want to ride in my car, you're going to have to move all of this mail and my four snow brushes and that pair of shoes and that full bag of El Matador tortilla chips. Like, get used to it.
Aaron's parents came into town once, and the first thing her mom did was clean out Aaron's car.
Oh, no.
I mean,
yikes.
You know, speaking of a car that needed to get cleaned out, the SWAT team cleaned out this car because they found a Bushmaster 22.3 caliber rifle that had been used in each attack, a rifle scope for taking aim, and a tripod to steady the shots.
All purchased at Bullseye Gun Supply. Thank you.
This scope, along with the rifle, could shoot effectively up to 984 feet.
Wow.
A backseat that had the sheet metal removed between the passenger compartment and the trunk, enabling the shooter to get into the trunk from the inside of the car with no issues. The Chevy Caprice owner manual with the FBI The FBI laboratory later detected written impressions of the one of that did the demand notes. A digital voice recorder used by both Malvo and Muhammad to make extortion demands.
Hmm.
The laptop stolen from one of the victims containing maps.
So they were going to eventually ask for money for
they
this?
They did. Yep.
They and did. Okay.
Yep, and I'll get to that.
All right. All right.
The laptop, which had contained maps of the shooting sites and getaway routes.
And Oregon Trail.
Of course. Maybe Doom, too, because Doom's on everything.
Right, it's true.
But and they also had
Skyrim.
Well, maybe. And then they also had walkie-talkies, among some other stuff. A stolen Bushmaster, the Bushmaster weapon and bipod were found in a bag in Muhammad's car. Ballistics tests later conclusively linked the seized rifle to 11 of the 14 shootings, including one in which no one was hurt. So, they're arrested.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about court. Once they went to court, there was a bunch of change of venue requests by defense attorneys, which were granted.
Oh, wow.
And the first trials were held in the independent cities of Chesapeake and Virginia Beach in southwestern Virginia, more than 100 miles from the closest alleged attack, which was in Ashland, Virginia. During their trials in the fall of 2003, including two of the victims in Virginia, Muhammad and Malvo were each found guilty of murder and weapons and weapon charges. Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The jury in Muhammad's case recommended that he be sentenced to death, while Malvo's jury recommended a sentence of life imprisonment without parole instead of death penalty. Mm-hmm. The judge concurred in both cases. Now, what I did was I separated out both Malvo and Muhammad so I could talk about what happened to them after this. So first I'm going to talk about Muhammad because this is a lot shorter. So Muhammad with his sniper team partner Malvo randomly selected innocent victims. Virginia Supreme Court Justice Donald Lemons wrote in his decision, with calculation, extensive planning, premeditation, and ruthless disregard for life.
Yeah.
Muhammad carried out his cruel scheme of terror. Muhammad's death penalty was affirmed by the Virginia Supreme Court on April 22nd, 2005, when it was ruled that he could be sentenced to death because the murder was part of an act of terrorism. This line of reasoning was based, this is where it was all, the reason why he got it, this line of reasoning was based on the handwritten note demanding $10 million.
Wow.
Which, oddly enough, doesn't seem like that much.
Well, you can also see it if you Google this. All these letters are really intricate and intense.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very passionate.
Mm. The court rejected an argument by defense lawyers that Muhammad could not be sentenced to death because he was not the trigger man in the killings linked to him and Malvo. He didn't pull the trigger. Malvo did.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah, which he influenced, which is what makes me so mad.
Okay.
On May 6, 2008, it was revealed that Muhammad had asked prosecutors in a letter to help him end legal appeals of his conviction and death sentence. Quote, so that you can murder this innocent black man, end quote. An appeal filed by Muhammad's defense lawyers in April 2008 cited evidence of brain damage that might render Muhammad incompetent to make legal decisions and that he should not have been allowed to represent himself at his Virginia trial. What's interesting about that piece of information is that is currently what's going on with Britney Spears and her court.
Right.
Yep. Yep. She, from what I understand, they say that she's got the brain capacity of a 9-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So does, I mean, literally, so does he.
Yep.
Right.
On September 16, 2009, the circuit judge, court judge Mary Grace O'Brien set an execution date by lethal injection for November 10, 2009. The execution procedure began at 9:06 p.m. Muhammad was pronounced dead 5 minutes later. It was reported that when he was asked if he had any last words, Muhammad made no reply. 27 people, including victim family members, witnessed his execution. So he is dead, dead, dead. Let's talk about Malvo now, because he has a lot more going on.
Mm-hmm.
While that decision and an unrelated case was still pending before the high court. In October 2004, under a plea agreement, Malvo pleaded guilty in another case in Spotsylvania County for another...
Spotsylvania.
Yeah, I saw that.
Bologna laws from there.
Very popular for grilled cheese.
That's a deep cut, Bologna.
For another murder to avoid a possible death penalty sentence and agree to additional sentencing of life imprisonment without parole. Malvo had yet to face trial in Prince William County, though.
If you told me death penalty or life in jail, I'm taking death penalty.
Yeah. Yep.
Although it might turn around like it did for Malvo, which we'll get to.
Ooh.
He was 17. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. After the initial convictions and sentencing, Will Jarvis, the assistant Prince William County prosecutor, stated he would wait to decide whether to try Malvo on capital charges in his jurisdiction until the United States Supreme Court ruled on whether juveniles may be subject to the penalty of execution. Larry knew what I was going to say. In March 2005, the Supreme Court ruled in Roper v. Simmons that the Eighth Amendment prohibits execution for crimes committed when under the age of 18. In light of the Supreme Court decision, the prosecutors in Prince William County decided not to pursue the charges against Malvo. Prosecutors in Maryland, Louisiana, and Alabama were still interested in putting both Malvo and Muhammad on trial. As Malvo was 17 when he committed the crimes, he could no longer face the death penalty, but still could be extradited to Alabama, Louisiana, and other states for prosecution.
This wouldn't have happened if he was white.
Hmm.
At the time of the Roper versus Simmons ruling, Malvo was 20 years old and was held at Virginia's maximum security Red Onion State Prison in Poundwise County. Red Onions. In John Allen Muhammad's May 2006 trial in Montgomery County, Maryland, Lee Boyd Malvo took the stand and confessed to the 17 murders.
Wow.
He also gave a more detailed version of the pair's plans. Malvo, after extensive psychological counseling, admitted that he was lying in the earlier Virginia trial where he had admitted to being the trigger man for every shooting. Beast. Malvo claimed that he had said that in order to protect Muhammad from a potential death sentence and because it was more difficult to obtain the death penalty for a minor. He's trying to protect him because he looks at him as a dad figure.
Yeah.
Right. And then I'm sure Muhammad talked him into that.
Right.
Too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sort of a Stockholm syndrome-y.
God damn it.
Jesus. Okay. All right. I'm deaf now.
Malvo said that he wanted to do what little he could for the families of the victims by letting the full story be told. In his 2 days of testimony, Malvo outlined detailed aspects of all the shootings. Oh boy, it gets dark. Part of his testimony concerned Muhammad's complete multi-phase plan. April touched on this. His plan consisted of 3 phases in the Washington, D.C. and Baltimore metro areas. Phase one consisted of meticulously planning, mapping, and practicing their locations around the D.C. area. This way, after each shooting, they would be able to quickly leave that area on a predetermined path and move on to the next location. Muhammad's goal in phase one was to kill 6 white people a day for 30 days. Malvo went on to describe how phase one did not go as planned due to heavy traffic and the lack of a clear shot or getaway at locations. Phase two was meant to take place in Baltimore, Maryland. Malvo described how this phase was close to being implemented, but not carried out. Phase two was intended to begin by killing a pregnant woman by Good shooting her God. In the stomach.
That's fucked.
Yeah. The next step would have been to shoot and kill a Baltimore police officer.
Mm.
Then at the officer's funeral, they planned to detonate several improvised explosive devices complete with shrapnel.
Good God, man.
Yeah. Those explosives were intended to kill a large number of police since that many police would attend another officer's funeral. That's what happens. The last phase was to take place during or shortly after phase two, which was to extort several $1 million from the United States government. This money would be used to finance a larger plan to travel north to Canada. Along the way, they would stop at YMCAs and orphanages recruiting other impressionable young boys with no parents or guidance. Muhammad thought that he could act as their father figure as he did with Malvo.
I can be your father.
Once he recruited a large number of young boys and made his way to Canada, he would begin their training. Malvo described how John Muhammad intended to train boys in weapons and stealth as he had been taught. Remember, all that time in the military,
right.
He could train that to all these young boys and they would have that knowledge.
Yeah.
Wasn't he a mechanic?
Yeah. Well, he still, I'm sure, learned how to shoot weapons.
Yeah, but he was an expert expert marksman.
Yeah,
exactly. Finally, after their training was complete, John Muhammad would send them out across the United States to carry out mass shootings in many other cities, just as he had done in Washington and Baltimore. These attacks would be coordinated and be intended to send the country into chaos that had already been built up, of course, after 9/11.
Well, he dreamed big, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I no, you're right.
I don't see how this would have even gotten off the ground, but
I mean, it did though. They killed people.
But 15.
Okay, but I'm saying to form an army.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, you're right.
That part's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, obviously, he's not quite right in the head. Now
you don't say.
Now, since court on October 2nd, 2007, Malvo called a daughter of one of the victims, Cheryl Witz, to apologize for his actions.
Sorry.
My bad.
February 21st, 2010, to apologize to John C. Gaeta for shooting him. Malvo wrote, quote, "I am truly sorry for the pain I caused you and your loved ones. I was relieved to hear that you suffered no paralyzing injuries and that you are alive," end quote.
Okay.
A Wise County, Virginia circuit judge denied Malvo's request to change his name on July 29, 2011. Malvo petitioned the court for the name change on the basis that it would be safer for it if his fellow inmates did not know his real name due to his notoriety.
Maybe it differs from state to state, but I thought you could just pay a fee and get your name changed.
Right.
I don't know. When you're incarcerated, though, it might be different.
Well, and he wasn't a legal citizen of the United States either.
That is true as well. You guys think too much.
I know.
In September 2012, Malvo gave a lengthy interview to the Washington Post. In this interview, Malvo, then 27, stated, quote, "I was a monster. If you look up the definition, that's what a monster is. I was a ghoul. I was a thief. I stole people's lives. I did someone else's bidding just because they said so. There is no rhyme or reason or sense," end quote. In an interview with Matt Lauer in October 24th of 2012, Malvo said that John Allen sexually abused him.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Wow.
As of 2004, Malvo is incarcerated at the Red Onion State Prison as Virginia Department of Corrections inmate 1180834. On May 26, 2017, a federal district court judge in Virginia overturned Malvo's sentences of life without parole.
That's why you maybe don't take that death sentence. Yes.
Mm-hmm. On the grounds that it was unconstitutional under Miller versus Alabama because Malvo was 17 years old at the time of the killings. Hmm. However, on August 16, 2017, Montgomery County, Maryland Circuit Court Judge Robert Greenberg decided that the Virginia federal court ruling did not apply to the Maryland cases since the sentences were not mandatory in the state of Maryland. Greenberg wrote, quote, "The six consecutive life without parole sentences were imposed after full consideration of defendant's physical, mental, and emotional state," end quote. He went on to state that the judge who imposed the original sentence considered all relevant factors at play, and the plain import of his words at the time was the defendant is irreparably corrupted.
Mm.
On July 21st, 2018, the United States Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit unanimously upheld a lower court's decision that Malvo's sentences of life without parole were unconstitutional. Mm. Judge Niemeyer wrote in the decision that Malvo was 17 years old when he committed the murders, and he now has the retroactive benefit of new constitutional rules that treat juveniles differently for sentencing.
Hmm.
A spokesman for Virginia Attorney General Mark Herring stated the office is considered asking for a full rehearing or appealing to the Supreme Court of the United States to hear the case. On July 29, 2018, Virginia Attorney General Mark Herring said in a statement that that his office was seeking to have the Supreme Court of the United States review the case. On March 18, 2019, the Supreme Court granted certiorari. I don't know what that means. And heard the case on October 16, 2019. On February 21st, 2020, Malvo asked the Supreme Court to dismiss his appeal as moot after a change in Virginian state law that made him eligible for parole in that state. The law change made any person sentenced to life as a juvenile and who has served 20 years in prison eligible to considered for early release.
Wow.
Malvo will become eligible for parole in consideration in Virginia in 2022. His life sentences in Maryland are not affected, though.
Hmm.
And finally, on March 10, 2020, Malvo's advisor, Carmeta Albaris, announced that he was married in a ceremony held at Red Onion State Prison.
Hmm.
So even in prison, after shooting and killing a bunch of people, you too can find love.
Yeah.
They're both guilty. That's our verdict. So does anybody have...
Whoa, no. We got to go into this. There's a lot here.
All right, verdict.
Let's take Malvo's case as the verdict.
Yes. Because we know Muhammad's the monster.
Let's go.
Okay, I'll go first.
Okay, so the... You got to do the
thing. Four podcasters you know and love and trust, with one with pigtails. And yes. Also, there's a very impassioned man and a young youth who are very in tune with their Islamic beliefs. Mm-hmm. So we have to ask ourselves, who's guilty here?
We know Muhammad is definitely... Yeah,
I think we can go around the horn and say that.
Right.
But our other little pal there... He is 100% absolutely guaranteed a fucking monster. Because I get it. You can be impressionable, but he was also 17. At that point, you should start to have an idea of what's right and what's wrong. And the fact that he was the one, he was pulling the trigger. He was shooting people. And he was like, at some point in your life, you got to say, oh, you want me to shoot a pregnant woman in the stomach? Okay, we can do that. They would have kept going, but they were caught. So I think that I don't think he should ever get out of jail. I think he should rot there for the rest of his life. He is a monster. No doubt in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that he deserves the sentencing that he got because he committed those crimes and he needs to pay the price for committing those crimes. It really does throw a wrench in it, though, when you talk about Muhammad and the influence that he had, especially because he was like a stand-in father figure. You know, we had talked earlier about how Malvo's dad bounced when he was like 5 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and he didn't really have anyone to look up to. And to have someone like Muhammad come into his life and he spent all that time with him, he was so manipulated. And you know, he was indoctrinated into Islam. I don't think he was of sound mind because he was so manipulated by Muhammad. It's in the same way that we talked about Jonestown and how Jim Jones was able to get people to kill themselves. Like if someone can be that manipulative to a huge group of people, I'm sure when it's like one-on-one, it's even more intense. And if it's someone that you love and respect,
right.
I I'm glad he did not get the death penalty, because I don't think he would have deserved that. I don't know if he's guilty of the crimes that he committed, but I don't know how
guilty. Do you think
he should
be released?
No, I don't think he should be, because he still committed those crimes. And like mm-hmm. you had said, he was 17 years old. I think at the time, you know what you're doing. And especially, not only did he commit all those crimes and kill all those people, he's got like a whole horde of other, you know, felonies, including, you know, stolen weapons and all the falsified documents and everything that went behind that.
No, you're right. You're right.
So, I, you know, as much as I would like to say, like, yeah, let him go, the dude was clearly, it was like Stockholm Syndrome, super manipulated.
I'm glad we're talking about this mm-hmm. because, yeah, it's a 17-year-old. So yeah. This is a very, like, on the cusp kind of, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I would be worried, though, like, and let's just devil's advocate that he gets out on this early parole. They mm-hmm. find that loophole.
Yeah. Well, who am I advocating for here?
I don't know. I have no one for you to advocate for.
I heard my name. I'm sorry. Why'd Larry leave the room, by the way?
He had raging diarrhea.
God damn. Dude, adjust your diet, bro.
I would be worried that he would get out and there would be some extreme group that would try to pull him in. Hey, yeah. Hey, buddy, come on. You will be free. We'll be your friend.
He and would immediately be the leader of that group too.
Well, I would, he's I wouldn't
one
say
of the
that.
Most impassioned Muslims ever. I saw all his notes.
I don't know that he would become a leader, but I would.
Oh yeah. He'd be a leader. I mean, the patience of being in prison, you got zero any influence. So you either yeah. work out or you pray to God, I guess, or you get raped, or mm-hmm. who knows what happens while you're in prison.
Right. Basketball.
No, he is got the patience of a sphinx. Mm-hmm. So he's going to come out of there.
I think that's a new one.
I've never heard that expression.
Well, I'm just saying, like a Egyptian statue that hasn't moved for thousands and thousands mm-hmm. of years.
Okay, that works better.
So
now.
I'm saying he's going to come out and literally be like, you want my help? I got it.
Yeah.
I'm sure, though, even in prison, he's got to be keep to himself, because with that kind of.
No. No.
You don't think so?
He's had a few friends.
Oh, okay.
Come on, man.
Go ahead, Larry.
Unless you're literally the most closeted serial killer on the mm-hmm. planet. No, this guy shot people and enjoyed it. And the people that he shot, it is fucking disgusting. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a pattern. It's literally anybody who he could shoot.
Right.
I think that's the part of the story that bothers me the most. You have an elderly woman. You have an older gentleman, you have young people. It's like there is no rhyme or reason. And that's what I think makes it the scariest. They're white people.
The last person he shot was a bus guy, literally ran a bus. And mm-hmm. he's out there at like 5:15 a.m. just like cleaning up the bus. Like, oh, I'm just everybody's favorite bus guy. Right. And here I am. This most
Bart dude. Left them candy wrappers in the back of the bus again.
Didn't sound like that, but he was an incredibly genuine black dude who ran a bus. Literally, he walks out there 5:15 a.m. and gets shot.
Yeah.
Right in his liver. So, jeez. You never want to get shot, but every time we talk about
good advice.
That's very good advice.
Every time we talk about people getting shot, it always bothers me. Especially this guy. He was like the cuddliest, like, black dude who ran a bus.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking like late 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Just a friendly dude. And he's out there cleaning the bus before mm-hmm. he goes and does his route, and he gets shot in the liver.
Yep.
So he dies a horrible death.
Yeah.
How about you, Larry? What do you think?
Like April said, I think. Here's the thing for me. He's apologizing, which means he knows right from wrong.
Right.
Period. You can talk about manipulation. I get that.
But right.
To a point, but 17, mm-hmm. I mean, like, 1 year later, he's 18, he's an adult.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
That's debatable.
I'm not. Yeah, I know, right? Seriously, I didn't feel like adult till I was like 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true.
But still at 17, I'm not making the decision to kill people either.
Right.
Maybe mowing a couple people down in Grand Theft Auto.
I think he was influenced.
Of course he was influenced, but still at the same time, he apologized, which means he knows right from wrong.
Exactly.
That's where I keep going back to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was wet. Hmm. It's hard, but like, unfortunately, Malvo, he's had a hard life, and maybe had he never had Muhammad come in, I don't know, maybe he would have been in prison anyways.
Muhammad was the
flint
to his fire. I think I say flint to water.
I think, yeah, he would still be in Jamaica.
Right. Down by the beach.
Which I wish all of us listening and all of us hosts could be.
Mm-hmm. I could use some Jamaica right now.
A little Jamaica, a little jerk chicken.
Mm-hmm. Rum. Rum.
Yes.
Little peaches.
Little peaches and rum.
Oh,
God, this burned my lips.
I'm sure Aaron would look at me.
Yeah.
Aaron would look at me and then look at the men from Jamaica and you're like, yeah, I married the wrong one.
Yeah, I need to marry Larry. I'd be right next to you looking at April going, oh, she's looking at,
oh, he's got 17 STDs. I'll stay with the salt and pepper ginger.
Right.
Loving.
Ginger? Yeah, I do love the gingers, yeah.
You like ginger snaps, right?
Well, Aaron's got kind of reddish hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, she's going to stay with you. That's been your verdict. Guys,
yes,
and gal,
yes,
we're here.
Don't worry, we're gonna say thank you for listening. patreon.com/beercitymediapodcast, which where you get all the 4 bonus episodes a month you could get
worth your money.
What's going on in this group? Because we have things going on.
We do.
Next week we are recording a. I don't know when this comes out. Shit.
A week from Monday.
A week from...
Okay.
Okay, so guys, we will be doing a very special episode. You know, it's Halloween, and every year on Halloween, we get together, we get funny, and that episode is next a week.
So, we're going to post what?
Wait, guys, yes, please go check out our Facebook. Go to our Facebook group, our private group. If you're not in it yet, go join it because we have conversations and funny shenanigans. We are going to post in that group our mail sack question post where you guys can come in. You can leave questions for us. We don't care how ridiculous they are. Just don't leave 25 questions. Leave a couple. Those are fun. And in that post, we're also going to leave our phone number.
937-504-9504.
That was kind of quiet in the beginning. Can you play that again?
937-504-9504.
So you can call that number.
I would say leave your... A Halloween story. We'll leave it kind of loose.
Yeah.
I don't want to say just like ghost stories or
leave
whatever,
spooky,
but leave a
Halloween, a fun Halloween story.
Message. Spook us.
Maybe a Halloween recipe.
Ooh. Fun too. Yeah. Like a way to make candy corn and like Chex Mix turn into like a magical tasty taste in your
maybe
mouth.
Some
tips.
Special candy corn.
Yes.
Marijuana.
We're going to be high. We're going to be high as fuck.
Sorry, boss. If you're listening,
weed-tacular, edible-tacular.
I don't get high, boss.
Yeah, I'm going to be drinking.
We don't drink on that episode. We're going to just be chewing grass like a couple of cows, and then we're going to come up and we're just going to podcast off the cuff of our cuffs.
So, yes, please go to that post. Leave your questions for our mail sack. Call the number. Give us some stories because we're going to have fun with that episode. And it'd be awesome if you guys.
9504.
If you guys could join us for that, that would be awesome. We'll have a good time.
Hmm?
Fucking dog.
I know.
They're excited for the Weed-tacular, man.
Hey, you know what I'm excited about?
Going to bed.
That too. I was going to say, hey, we're going to have a P.O. box soon. Yeah. Hopefully, ish.
Looks at me like,
right, Ryan? Right, Ryan?
Son of a.
Well, because we've had a lot of people ask us, like, hey, where can I send stuff?
I can do it.
No, I will do
it. If you're not going to do it, I can do it.
I just talked to my supervisor tonight. I'm not doing it.
Shit.
I have to come in on my off day to set it up, and I'm going to cry all the time. No, just kidding. We love you guys. Please, we'll send you out our P.O. box. Very soon. We love you guys very much, very deeply.
Mm-hmm.
We have so much coming down the pipeline. We're going to be stoned as fuck very mm-hmm. soon.
Not me, boss.
Stoned.
Yeah, I'm just going to be drinking.
Yes.
All right. We'll see you next week. Does anybody have anything they want to throw out there for the Zipper? Yeah.
Cory and the Bat Bear. That word
mm-hmm.
line.
Mm. Tonight, go home and crack yourself open a fresh.
Nice. Yeah, have a tasty beverage. All right, we'll see you next week. Another episode of the Conspiracy Therapy Podcast. Have a great one, guys.